Right. Okay, we're ready to rock. So, just to repeat the two sentences there, the morning period is of this talk falls into two areas. One is a general overview of the days we have had together, and included general focus and priorities for today. And the second, I'm putting under the general label or heading of mindfulness tips. Mindfulness tips is not going to be lightweight, but you'll see the point when I speak to you. But firstly, let me speak about the days together. So there are a number of general themes which have been and will continue to take place. And this is a series of small reminders. One important reminder with regard to this is the value and the significance of attending to the whole of the day. And what I have in mind here, quite often we will hear rather influential voices who say, oh, you should, back to the word again, you should sit every morning and every evening. Frankly, don't buy it. And what I mean by that is some do have a practice of regularity of the form in the morning and evening, but it's not to be given an exclusive priority. We are human beings, we have the whole of the day. And every aspect of the mindfulness meditative approach means it can be applied and is intended to be applied in primary areas of the day. You might wake up in the morning, as for an example here, this, and say, is there an area of today which really requires some extra energy, priority, focus, mindfulness, care, empathy for today? And one or two areas may for you arise. Okay, that's your priority with your mindfulness. And I'm saying that obviously for today, for most of you this Monday. Secondly, as well, we often get the idea that mindfulness meditation is all about sitting, and particularly in the certain kind of posture, cross-legged and so forth. There. The teachings are a breakaway from that. This was the view of the yogis at the time of the Buddha. One got enlightened, got liberated through sustained cross-legged sitting posture. That was the means for liberation. The Buddha dismissed this viewpoint. The form of that is too narrow, and therefore it was and is a radical change. And therefore, all four postures, sitting, walking, standing and reclining, which make up our day, are equally important for opening the heart, equally important for reflection, equally important for insights and realizations and waking up. And it's important really that we really remember that, as well as those shall we say, activities, not just about sitting, walking, standing and reclining. And that could be work period, it could be gardening, Tai Chi, yoga, dance, of course, mustn't forget dance, and much more. And to say, in all of that as well, to just take a small example with dance, whether we dance alone or we dance with another or others there, not only can be a great practice for the movement and the vitality, the vibrancy of the dance there, but also a real opportunity to watch the arising of I and my while dancing. And therefore, I've had retreats, or at the end of retreats, where we have what I call Dharma dancing. See, if I put the word Dharma in front of it, it sounds more spiritual or legitimate. So I'd call it Dharma dancing. And I would choose the music, of course. The guru privileges. I like rock and roll, so that's what everybody got. And with the dancing, Dharma dancing, there was a little extra area of mindfulness to go with it. In this case, watching I and my. And one of the common forms of I and my, if you're dancing with others, socially distanced, of course, is the comparing. Oh, she's a good dancer. Oh, look at him. Who does he think he is? And, oh, I wonder if anybody's looking at me dancing, etc. So we're dancing for harmony, for love, for vibrancy, for togetherness, and the I and my can arise in comparing and judging, and we just want to see this is totally empty, unrelated to dancing. So this is called, I call this Dharma dancing. So just use it as an example, an illustration of our practice engaged, and at times with the day, there may be areas where you and I realize it requires a bit more care and attention. Sometimes, with the mindfulness and awareness there, with the four postures, do please explore and experiment regularly with all four postures. And so walking is just walking. You might be going to the shops there, and obviously totally ignoring the supermarket because you don't want to feed the billionaire's pockets, and finding your local shopkeepers there. So you've got a destination, but the walking event is the priority for you. You know where you're going, but you're really committed to walking there. And sometimes when you are walking, you might see a person or persons that you know. So you might stop and have a communication. If you, like me, as I mentioned to you, living in a small town, one of the costs of this is that one gets to know people, and unfortunately other people get to know oneself. So sometimes I'm walking up the high street to get some food in the Friday market or Saturday market, and oh, Christopher, you're just the one I want to see. And I know it's a bit rude, the thought arises in my mind, thank you, but you're not really the one I want to see, I'm just walking in the silence. So I'll smile and I'll wave to the person and I'll say, drop me an email, we'll have a coffee next year. No, drop me an email and we'll get together like that. So I can just, they smile and they get to know. And then sometimes I'm out on the bike. And that's another good mindfulness practice. And I know some people just love cycling. I don't own a car, but I got my push bike. And I was out on the bike, and a youngster, he was about 5 or 6 years of age, walking with his mum. And he turned to his mum and he said, look at that old geezer on a bike. That's me. Look at that old geezer on a bike. There. I turned round, the mother looked up, and I said, not so much of the geezer. Old is accurate. Anyway, so sometimes we get a response from what's around, we enjoy the response, and we cycle on. Just use it to me as a reminder in your day to day to really say, well, this is a practice which is kind of free-spirited. It's not a practice that we have to contract around. With the day as well, one of the priorities there, a really important one, and a major daily event, is what goes in this small hole here. And I do think it's worthwhile giving a priority to that. And frankly, if I was a dictator, which I'm quite happy to be, I don't have any trouble being a dictator. One of the first things I do is to really bring in some laws there about the most radical change in diet that's been known in this since the loss or the alienation from organic food, and to really, really make a really shift over to healthy food for us, grown as much as possible locally, though I, you know, love my rice and my lentils and blah, 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 there. But to really say, my mindfulness practice is really going to consider what is nourishing, healthy food, and I'm going to make that. And then we might have a little treat, you know, something like me, I like black chocolate. Okay. But it's not going to be used as an outcome of feeling hungry. It's the little small pleasures of life are really, really nice there. But we've got the priority. All of that's mindfulness practice. And it's so it's a day in which sitting, walking, standing and reclining. It's a day where other activities are there. It's a day where you are giving some reflection to any priorities for mindfulness for your day. And that might be, as I mentioned, something you need to write, something you need to read, something you need to do some housework, to have a meeting with another person or whatever. Say, right, that's going to receive from me the extra inner energy, vitality, attention which it deserves. With the formal sit, walk, standing, recline, with the formal, we have explored mindfulness of breathing, explored the experience of the whole body applied to all four postures, as well as other activities. We have given attention, as we did yesterday, to the feeling tone. And in a way, the cultivation and the development of these three primary objects of interest, your understanding and the importance of each one will come through practice. So initially, it might be doing it out of a certain, whatever, faith. It might be doing it out of, you've read that other people have got the benefit from it. But that does need to shift over, in a way, as quickly as possible, that your experience gives the authority. Your experience gives you the encouragement to explore further. And that's what we're deeply interested in. So there are many, I've already listed before, benefits of the mindfulness of breathing. From calm and relaxation, to cutting through thought, to being really, staying really steady. There are real benefits to mindfulness of the body. Reducing all the stereotype projections and images that we have about ourselves and others. Really connecting with the elemental experience of the body. Recognizing the happinesses and joys that can flow through the body. Working with pain, so pain and sickness in the body there, but the clarity about it means that the mind is able to stay calm and clear with the condition of the body. And out of that we can respond well to it. And of course the application of posture, healthy diet and so forth. And then with the feeling tone as well. In the day, you and I, we will probably experience all three kinds of feeling tone. And many times, quite easily, they just come and pass. And so we have pleasant feelings. Some of you may recognize moments of being touched. And that can be in all sorts of manner and ways, through the senses, through the memory, through an opportunity to apply something. It provides a warm, connected feeling tone, and they are really precious for our existence. Another time, the feeling life is quiet, you're mindful of it, you're not trying to enforce change on it, and just know sometimes that's how it is. And sometimes there's the unpleasant, backstroke, painful there, and say, sometimes that is arising. There can be benefits to it. The unpleasant can be the first spark towards making a change. Sometimes a real major change in our life, and sometimes a modest one. And with the feeling tone there, we're a little bit vulnerable with them as well. We want to be as clear as possible about that. So pleasant can end up as pursuing of the same sensation in the same way. Consumerism being an example. And there's a little movement, some movement towards a certain minimalism. See, again, if I was a dictator, I would really encourage everyone to look at our lifestyle. And so in looking around online, one person, he went through his wardrobe, young guy, probably about 30 years of age, and he reduced all the clothing in his wardrobe to 7 items of everything, one, as it were, for each day of the week. And everything else he gave to the charity shop. So sometimes we get inspired, and I looked at that. So I didn't do that. And what I was doing this year, it's the vow not to buy any clothes, but prior to this year, if I bought an item of clothing, I took an item or clothing which I had already to the charity shop. So if something came into the home, into the wardrobe, something went out there. So it's just recycling, making some changes. They're all part of a mindfulness practice there. And quite often, as you and I know, there's a lot more joy in life in sharing and giving than in having and taking. And as we got the reminder from Brian the other day or two ago, life is a gift. And there's something about the giving, life is given to us, the giving which feels more in tune with a worthwhile life. And taking and accumulating makes us feel a bit uncomfortable, a bit disconnected, shall we say. So, let our practice be one of, as much as possible, periods, might be 2 minutes, 3 minutes, regularly, mindfulness of breathing with a good upright posture. Let's really give attention to the whole of the body and the experience of it, the vibrations, the sensations, keeping a mindful eye open for any spots or points of pressure, stress and tension, and see if we can just work with that or breathe through that. Thirdly is with regard to the feeling tone, pleasant, unpleasant, painful or in between, and with all of these areas, the mindfulness with the extra component sees the arising when it starts, sees the middle and sees the end, sees it coming, sees it staying for a while and passing. And with the priority for today, again, it's a kind of a little bit more inclusion with this. I invite you to give a little bit more care and attention to the way you think. So there's the breath, there's the body, feeling tones, thoughts arise maybe in relationship to those areas or to other areas. It could be yourself or something outside of yourself. And if you notice that you are thinking excessively, physically stop. Stand tall, stand upright. It's a quiet determination not to indulge in thinking. And if you are thinking and it feels helpful, remember the essence of the thought. And what I mean by that, the thought arises, a need to do. You might think around what the items are, what you need to do, but the essence is it requires an action. And if we start thinking too much about how to do it and when to do it and what to do, etc., it can end up we don't do anything because we completely exhausted ourselves with thinking about it. So for thought to have a useful power, a benefit for us, we need enough mindfulness to be sharp enough in which we realize the thought is encouraging me to do something valid and useful. And sometimes there is a principle involved. So yesterday Eva asked me about the family. So here's a small point. Any school teachers here might have to put your fingers in your ears for a moment. Sean and my daughter rang me this yesterday evening. And as the grandfather does, how are the kids? Oh yeah, great, blah, 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 blah. She said, her daughter, Danae is an American Indian name, by the way. Nishona is also American Indian. You know, I have a great love of American Indian culture, because it has a sense of community about it and living close to the earth. I think it's a great principle. Anyway, and so the daughter's in school, and the teenagers, she's 14, were going into the classroom. And she and her friend were just standing outside the classroom and telling something to each other and started laughing and giggling. And then they weren't late for class, they walked in, and the teacher said to my granddaughter Danae, "You're not allowed to be laughing in the corridor outside the classroom." Anyway, and yet you should just be only talking is permitted before you come into the classroom. So for that, you have to stay in after school for detention. It's like a police state. So Danae said, it's not fair. We weren't being noisy, it's not fair. And so Danae said to her mother, I've refused to accept the punishment, which is detention, having to stay in after school. This is a principle, I'm not going to do it. So Nishona was a little concerned, well, you know, it's a teacher, etc. And Danae said, it's a principle, I'm not going to do it. It's unfair. So I rang her up, that's Danae, my granddaughter, and said to her, your mum just told me about the incident in the class, or outside the classroom, and I could tell from my granddaughter's voice, before I said anything, she was a little concerned about what I might say. And I said to her, stand by your principle. You'll get extra punishment for standing by your principle, but if you know that you and your friend were chatting, there's a bit of laughter, I said, either way, a bit of laughter or a words, it's just sound coming out of the mouth. What the hell is the difference? So she was very happy. I said, stand by your principle. And I said, I'm really happy my granddaughter has these principles, and I'm going to send some extra pocket money to you on Monday. So she was extra happy. So sometimes, just use it as an example. Of course, very happy grandfather as well, but that's another story. That sometimes there is a principle. Other people may not understand the principle. Now, sometimes we have to stay steady. We'll need our mindfulness and clarity sometimes to be able to say no. It's unfair. It's not just. It's not appropriate. I'm not going to agree to it. And principle is a really significant aspect of these practice of mindfulness practices. There's a genuine ethic in this, and you and I, in different times, will be challenged with the principle. And it doesn't mean to say we have to, in this case, like Danae, she doesn't have to be rude to the teacher. We don't have to argue with another person. We don't have to think, oh, principle, it just means I'm attached, I'm clinging, I'm holding. It doesn't. It's just staying true to something and being quietly true and taking and acknowledging that others may disagree and that might bring some reaction, or punishment or whatever, but one just stays true to something. And principle is an important aspect of this. So just use it again as a small example of the rhythms of the day. And just coming to the tips aspect here. I've included a few with you. there. So, in the expiration, and this is now in a kind of general long-term view here, you might take a theme for your, for a week, 2 weeks, 40 days or whatever. So, to give some example, do spend as much time as you can outdoors regardless of the weather. Something very renewing and refreshing with the outdoors. And I find for myself, and it may be your experience as well, that let's say I just go outdoors for a walk. For some people who are in the city, it might just be walking around the quiet streets. It might be the walk in the park. Like myself, just 5 minutes walk, and the river is nearby, the Devon Hills, and one can walk for miles and miles. It's really quite lovely. But all three are equally valuable for the walking. This is the point, the mindfulness tip. I find it useful to give it a little extra intention. This is what I mean. So I might walk, and one day or some days, the priority might be keeping an eye open for the birds, because I love birds. My surname is Titmus, it's an abbreviation of titmouse, small bird. And another time it might be flowers, or it might be views, or it might be just seeing, noticing, or hearing something unusual. So there's a general intention, the human being walking on Mother Earth. And then there's a little extra ingredient which supports the mindfulness, a specific. Sometimes I'll take a small camera, take that with me, or the mobile phone. Sometimes I'll walk and stop quite regularly and just stand still and just feel the sky above and the earth below. And it gives a certain almost spiritual quality to it rather than just going out for a walk. And we want to make it a little bit deeper than just going out for a walk there. Another area, tip. This is with reading. The relationship of the reader to the read is vital. It's kind of all important. And what I mean by that is, in the reading, we may feel, even a sensation in the body, a response to something we read. So yesterday evening in the hour-long period of sharing and touching upon themes with some of you, so one person made reference to when the kind of personal story of one's life is rather quiet, and all the roles that go with it, it can open up things as sense of something bigger, like that. and that can happen quite spontaneously. Yesterday evening was a lovely clear sky here, and the moon was getting more and more full there, and a little sense of the wonder and the appreciation of it all that we're living with. It is remarkable, I mean truly remarkable there. So then that might inspire some of us, people like me anyway, to look and see, what do the poets say about the moon? What are the trees telling us know, there's that extraordinary book on the the life of trees by the Austrian writer. I wrote a review of it. How deep the connectedness is of the roots, the secret life of trees. A beautiful book. And so from the reading, it brought about a fresh new appreciation. And remember, being an ex-Buddhist monk, spent, of course, the years in the forest, the love of trees, my teacher, the Buddha, was awakened under a tree. There's a long-standing forest tradition. There were people in Thailand, the activists, were ordaining trees, putting robes around the tree to stop the destruction of the rainforest. I mean, trees have an incredibly precious place in the life of mindfulness practice. And so, as I say, sometimes with that, we're touched, let's say with the trees. What did the poet say about the trees? What can we Google? What can we learn about our relationship to the trees? How extraordinary it is that the trees provide the oxygen for us to breathe. Whoa, what about that for a connection? So all of this is the exploration and a kind of tip. What do the birds say? What do the butterflies tell us there? What do the trees communicate? What does the moon say to us? And we've got beautiful writings, spiritual, sacred, from our poets and our philosophers, from religious texts, from secular explorations, and much, much more. Whoa, what nourishment we can find. So all of this puts our personal life into a kind of perspective. There's a real place for that, but we're saying yes and more, yes and more. And the Buddha uses a great word which touched me and I appreciate immensely. He said, this way of life, you might call it spiritual way of life or a Dharma way of life or a conscious way of life, he said, is to realize, this is important here, the immeasurable. So sometimes we find ourselves constantly dealing with measurements. Time is a measurement. Oh, the day is long and it's short. It's a measurement. Right now, here is 8:39. Then and the minutes go by, that's another measurement. But we also can take a real interest in all of that, and here's the important point. When you and I give real attention to anything, it is immeasurable how much one item can reveal to us. It's immeasurable. One particular thing, to give an example, one of the things which I enjoy doing at every opportunity, been denied, of course, the last year or so, and that is to go and listen to other speakers. And Totnes does invite some really fine speakers. The BBC had a documentary on a walk from Totnes to Dartmouth, probably 18 or 20 kilometres along the river, and it's only last month, and spoke and interviewed with a few people in the town, And the reporter, in her experience of being in Totnes for the start of this walk through beautiful countryside, commented, Totnes is a town of fiercely independent people. That's us. You got it. There. So sometimes fiercely independent people will come and speak to fiercely independent people, which we greatly appreciate. So here's the point. One person came and said, when you look at an item that you have bought, and it may have come from overseas, and plenty of things I have come from overseas, the rubber plant I've got here came from overseas, obviously, from Malaysia. And all along the way, to the time you got it, it's gone through a variety of hands, and each of those hands is wishing to make a profit. So there are the workers in the fields and the factories, and then the owner of the fields and the factories, and then the transportation, plane, ship, road, whatever it might be about. Then there's the wholesalers, and then there are the people who own the factories, and then it goes to the retailers, and they have to make their profit, and then you buy. So that the price has increased through this sequence, all the way through. And it's not easy to change or break the sequence or whatever there. And I listened to that. And any item which I had, whoa. And just following from that. And then that sparks it a bit. Is there a way that I can find some, bring some more, buy things which have a more ethical foundation? Where there's just more care and concern. Can I avoid luxury items and work more with necessities, both aesthetic and practical? Yeah. So sometimes we hear something, it touches us, we're mindful of something, we want to learn more about, and we want to do that to make some changes. And if you and I have got the interest and the curiosity and the spirit for all of this, it's quite an adventure. And one has the feeling, wow, we are contributing to a direction which we want the world to go in. And people have said to me, Christopher, oh, Christopher, I've heard this a few times, you can imagine. Oh, Christopher, you're so lucky. You were a Buddhist monk. You had the opportunity for practice. All right, okay, yeah, yeah. Then afterwards I disrobed, so that was over. Oh, Christopher, you're so lucky. You're not in a relationship. You haven't got any kids. You don't have all those responsibility. Oh, you're so lucky. And then after that, oh, Christopher, you're so lucky. You're in a relationship with a woman, and she's a practitioner too. And that's just lovely. And you haven't got any kids. And then, oh, you're so lucky, Christopher. You're in a relationship, and you got a child. So there's two of you looking after there. You're so lucky. And then, oh, you're a single parent, Christopher, or a co-parent. Oh, then you're so lucky. Because you're a single parent, but you've got lots of friends around who are giving you support, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it goes on. I've heard this a few times. How easy it is to think somebody else is better off. And then the other one, the big one, has always been, oh, you're so lucky. People invite you to travel around the world. You go to Israel and Palestine and India and Australia and blah, 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 blah. So you have so much more adventure. Because you're meeting all these people and all these exotic places. They're not exotic at all. But anyway, you go to all these places. There. So I thought, maybe I'm right. Maybe they're right. The point being, in the past year, since I got back from India, that's March of 2020, I've been out of the country for 2 weeks. And that was to Germany to teach, and everything else has been cancelled. So I've been at home for a year, 14 months, without this travel. It has not made one iota of difference to engaging in the adventure of life. Adventure of life has nothing to do with travel. It's nothing to do with being a monk, a nun, single, relationship, kids, single parent, blah, blah, blah. Nothing to do with it. Adventure is adventure. Exploration is exploration there. And to keep the vitality. And I wondered in myself, what would it be like just to be in this town 7 days a week throughout the year and not have that social contact which I'm used to for the past 50 years. From the monastery with 100 of us to the retreat to the lovely network. Adventure and exploration is a vitality. And I've just made a few suggestions where you are. And if we keep that, vitality and curiosity alive, it's very liberating. When we speak, as we have touched upon over the days, of freedom of being, yes. The freedom to be, like with the granddaughter, with a principal. The freedom to go out and walk and really experience the day and all that's going on with the day. The freedom to say yes. The freedom to say no. The freedom to explore changes. These are all precious freedoms that these teachings explore with a foundation of ethics, that means non-harming, non-exploitation, with a foundation of empathy for life, of love, and a kind of creative vitality. And we need our scholars, we need our pundits, we need our poets, we need our singers, we need our musicians, we need our artists, because they are all, in their best sense, reminding us of something deep and profound. And that is part of the adventure of the exploration. All right, I'm done for the morning. So, this period is an invitation to the work period and exploring that over the next hour or so. I've been recording, as you know, the morning sessions, the afternoon guided meditation, and the afternoon talk. And this morning I'll be putting up those on the blog there. And there are a number of people who are not on the retreat with us, but have expressed interest to lend an ear. and others are doing that as well. So in 2 hours' time, I'll see you again, and with that I'll just short usual 5 minute introduction at the beginning. All right, thank you everybody, and see you soon. And usual reminder, after the guided meditation, if you have any questions or responses to teachings, practices, talks, etc., do bring them up. I look forward to hearing from you. Okay, bye for now.